good evening, or good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Atlantic Business Spotlight. This is your hostess, Kathleen Sutherland. I am a marketing consultant, a copywriter, a certified emotional fitness coach, and a multidisciplinary artist. And this podcast is for entrepreneurs, thought leaders, or anyone who is interested in learning more about the stories, the characters, and the specializations that make up the business community in the Greater Moncton area. Today, I'm hanging out with Shannon Edgett, who has a very interesting and specialized line of work. Shannon, thank you so much for spending time with me today.
It's a pleasure.
So, Shannon, we were educating me as to what someone in your field is actually called, and I really like the word you introduced me to. You are a palmist.
Yeah, there's a lot of different definitions, but people who do chiromancy or palm reading, they can label themselves as a palmist.
And what exactly is it chiromancy?
Chiromancy, yeah.
Chiromancy. I know this is an old word. It's maybe something that we've heard in fantasy or a historical fiction or something like this where there's wizards involved. Can you educate what this actually means and what it has been in our history?
So it's the study of the palm, the lines that appear on the hand, the shapes, the nail beds, and it's essentially the interpretation of what those lines and symbols mean, because there's patterns, there's things that reoccur in the hand. So this, I believe, it originated in India or China thousands of years ago, and probably from before that, but that's when the most recorded history of it was done, and it was very common with the gypsies in the European, and I know gypsies is not the proper terminology, but it's the one people recognize,
right.
It has since come west and been more westernized.
And how did it become something in your world? At what point did you become switched on to the whole science of palmistry and realize that's something I need to learn about?
So I was always interested in how the world worked, and especially drawn to the things that were really, really hard to define and understand, especially where there was no one to really explain these things to me. So I always understood things or knew things, had premonition of sorts, which may be a little weird and woo-woo, but I could dream about the future, things on that line. And the dude at church wasn't able to explain that, and there was no books in the library that were able to explain that. So I started to research things like divination and witchcraft, which was just a different type of church, in my opinion. All of that to say, the thing I liked about palmistry when I was researching this stuff was it was me. It was my body. It was my hand. And I was understanding what was being presented within who I was as a person. And I loved the concept of recognizing patterns that were shared amongst people. So that was really another piece that drew me in. Why do we have the same line, but we're different people with different characteristics? Oh, I guess we are similar in this trait. And the science of it, certain things we do as people, we repeat patterns. Our hands hold things in a certain format. They create the creases in our hand, and therefore that line will appear. Certain people worry quite a bit, so then their hands will create a certain twitch, or their fingers will move in a certain way, and that repetitive pattern will then shape the line in a certain way, which is an indication of worrier. So that to me was really cool and really exciting, and started that journey.
And it applies as well in a way maybe we think about more often, the lines in our face, how we can see, someone who's smiled a lot throughout their lifetime has developed those indentations, and the same way as sometimes we see the permanent frown as well. So I know when I first learned about Chinese face reading as a science, I became very interested in the idea that our health and our personality and our experiences could actually be interpreted just by looking at the lines in our face, and also fascinated by the notion that this being such an old science, that
how many, you know, charlatan psychics throughout the ages have just had a skill, something like palmistry, something like the ability to read the face and pass themselves off as a very powerful and perhaps magical character. So there's a lot there. At what age did you start to really dive into it?
So I grew up quirky and different. And as a result, I was always looking for how to understand the world in a different way. So in my teenage years, the internet was invented, which will age me a little bit. And I was able to do some research about what some of the alternatives to Christianity were, because Christianity wasn't answering any of my questions. And then that brought me to the terminology of divination. So then I went to Chapters and secretly bought myself some books on that stuff, and palmistry was one of the books I picked up. So I was about 16 when I bought that book, and it blew my mind. It really made a lot of sense. Again, it was tangible. It was right there. It was explained in a way that could be conceptual. And yeah, so I've developed it ever since, starting with this little book from Chapters, self-taught, and built it from there at the age of 16.
So do you remember the first occasion, or what were the circumstances where someone asked you to interpret their palm and you started transferring this from a self-studied, something you did for yourself, to something you were actually doing for other people?
So I had, part of my self-study, I had created a diagram in a little notebook of mine that I would, you know, draw the hand and draw the lines and write on the side and index, okay, this line is this, and there was colors, and it was so organized. I had this book out once at a cafe when I was waiting to meet a friend, and they saw it and they're like, what's that? So then the conversation started, and they're like, well, can you read my hand? People usually get so excited when they hear you have a trait or a quality that can lead to interpretation. I mean, how many people love tarot card readers? You know, you can whip out a deck of cards and throw them down and people get all excited and tell me about my love life and other things on that line.
Isn't that so interesting how excited we get about the possibility of someone else telling us something about ourselves that yes. We might not already know? Whereas if it comes in the form of unsolicited advice, for example, we hate that. We push it away so hard.
Yes. So sitting in the cafe in Fredericton with my little notebook and trying to look at their hand and see how it was different from mine. And I actually would look at my hand and then look at theirs and then look at my diagram and be like, I think this means this and I think this means this. And in the beginning, there was a lot of like, oh, yes, that's right. Well, no, that's not really me. And people still will sometimes make those kinds of comments, even though I've been doing this for years. But I know better now. I've got my experience under my belt. And it's even more fun when they bring a friend and the friend will be like, oh yeah, that you've totally nailed it. That's totally her. She doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, things on that line. But yeah, just that slow practice. And I mean, as soon as that person knew, she told other people. And then I had lots of people throwing their hands in my face and, you know, high five to the face, that kind of concept. But and then it built over time as I trusted what I was seeing and interpreting and got that feedback. And then I like started having confidence in what I was seeing. And I mean, there's still things that sometimes surprise me. But the internet is a wonderful thing, and there's a lot of people who practice this, so I can go kind of get cross references.
So there are a lot of palm readers out there, but are there a lot of people who are practicing this in this area, in the Greater Moncton area or in New Brunswick?
No, there are a few people I'm aware of that dabble in it, but I don't know if they are actual palmists. To my knowledge, I'm the only one practicing. There may be other people, but they're not on my radar. There is a woman in Nova Scotia who she'll sometimes do it, but her primary focus is tea leaves. So yeah, there's like one or two other people in all of the Maritimes, to my knowledge, that do palm reading.
So can you explain, for the client or for the person who is curious about this, what is the benefit of having a reading like this? Like, what are most people looking for when we come for a reading, and how does that match up with what information you're able to provide?
So I think the standard for any person looking for a reading, they're looking for details and information about something happening in their lives or hoping to happen in their lives. The thing about palm reading is it's kind of, I call it your roadmap, you know, a map specifically for you of how you're living your life, how things are unfolding for you should you continue taking that road in life. So a palm reading will kind of give you an idea of where you're going, where you've been, and what's likely to come about should you continue doing the things you're doing. It's a great check-in tool. So if you are uncertain, if you're making good choices, or if there's things that you aren't aware of on your radar that you have suspicions or gut feelings.
Like, is he cheating on me kind of stuff?
You know, stuff like that. It's a good tool to kind of gauge what the likelihood is to come about. So, you know, is he cheating on me? Well, if you look at the relationship line, if there's a fork in it, chances are there is a form of infidelity happening in that relationship. It could be you, or it could be the other person. The relationship line has a downward arc. Well, chances are you guys are going to like hate each other in the end. You know, it's not a solid relationship. So for myself, I like to encourage people when I see such things to do their healing work, to intervene now, prevent it from happening. Just because I see something on a palm doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. But it's up to the person themselves to want to make the changes, to do the work, to recognize what could potentially happen. So it's a roadmap based on who you are right now, where you're going. You want to take a different road, you have to make the choice to put your blinker on and take that different road. And then your hand may change to reflect that.
So how often do the lines on our hands change? Is it something that's continually in flux? Like, if I have a way of thinking and being in the world that's very consistent, let's say throughout life, is that going to be reflected in the lines of my hands not changing versus someone who's very dynamic and has all kinds of different things going on? Is there a pattern to what that looks like?
So some people's hands will never change, but some people will never change. There's primary lines. So there's four lines that usually are pretty consistent, and that's your lifeline, your line of head, your line of heart, and your line of fate. But I've seen them change. I've seen things appear or disappear on them, or the way they were shaped, or the depth of the line. A fun thing I tell people who take my palmistry course to do is the day of your course to go home and take a photo of your hand and upload it to Facebook. You can mark it public, private, whatever you want, but in 1 year it will pop up in your memories, and then you get that specific comparison. You can see in 1 year what has changed in your palm. In my opinion, everyone's hands change somewhat, because it's very rare you have people who are the same their entire lives. We change jobs, we change hobbies, we change hygiene habits, we change a lot of different stuff, and that in itself will change.
So how do you deal with that when you have someone sitting in front of you and you're looking at their hand and you're seeing some red flags or like some things that would personally concern you? And of course, if we're paying for a service and it's meant to be fun and insightful, you're not wanting to be the bearer of bad news and stuff. So what's that like for you on the reader's side?
So it's not often I don't tell what I see. I will share negative things if they're presented, but I will usually premise them or talk about how they can shift that negative quality or that negative trait. I don't usually talk about something that looks like a very short lifeline, unless I think there is potential for them to continue living beyond it. And then I'll talk about how it's important for them to really pay attention to the way they're living, their health, their carelessness. Like, are they the kind of person to not pay attention to the way they drive? You know, and there'll be clues in the hand that kind of show me their persona, their character, how receptive they would be to such things. So I don't usually limit myself when I see a negative trait. Because to me, it's important people know who they are. If they don't know who they are, then they can't grow as a person. And it might be uncomfortable to bring up, but it's the kind of thing where I think it's important people have the opportunity to develop and change their direction. Now, if someone sits down with me, I do tell them right away, is there anything you don't want me to talk about? Mm-hmm. And if they're like, yeah, I don't want to know the day I'm going to die, well, I'll talk about their health and their life to a degree, but I won't give them, you know, those key pieces. That's kind of how I would handle a difficult palm scenario.
It's such a complete picture with this stuff that you can really see on the surface and the depth and all the different areas in terms of emotion, physicality, mental strengths and acuity, intuition. So it can be a very complete picture indeed. And then it's your job as an interpreter, it sounds like, to sort of feel where the person is at and what they will be able to receive and benefit from in the moment as well while you're offering that interpretation.
Yeah, people, in my opinion, they're looking for you to interpret their map. You know, they don't know how to interpret themselves. They're looking for guidance. Some people do come with a specific question, like they want to know about, am I ever going to get married? Or, you know, will I finally pay off if I invest in this business? Will I finally get some money out of it? Some people do come with that kind of intention, but there's so many layers of your persona. You can see so much of who you are in your hands and in other people. I mean, this may or may not be known to your listeners. If I ever go on a date with somebody, I'm peeking. I'm looking at their hand. I'm checking out what they've got, who they are. And I have decided in the past to not date someone because I didn't like what I saw.
Why wouldn't you use that ability if you could, right? It's kind of like that sneak peek into the mind of people that I think a lot of us would probably want to take advantage of if we could.
Yeah.
So what do you find is the typical reaction when you are giving this information? I heard you touch on the fact that sometimes there's a little bit of denial there if it might not be the most flattering quality. And sometimes I imagine there's also quite a bit of validation there, you know, very readily, yes, that's me. But what do you see people sort of walking away with from the experience?
A lot of people will come for a session and they'll be completely shocked at what can be seen in a palm. They have, you know, ideas that you can see details about career path or money or relationships, but they don't realize how in-depth and personal a palm reading can be. So often people walk away amazed. I've had people cry that I could see the depth of their life, the impact their family had on them, or narrow in sometimes on specific experiences they had, like abuse or you know, a really bitter relationship. So people are often very surprised that things can be seen and be so transparent on a palm. And people often walk away feeling very good and validated about what was shared with them. When I do a reading, I like to give people insight with where they're going, but also what could potentially happen and where they might want to take those detours in life. Because something appears on your hand doesn't mean you're subscribed to experience that. I like people having the potential to recreate themselves. If they don't like an element or an aspect of who they are or where they're going, you can reinvent yourself and become something better or greater.
So Shannon, on your Facebook page, your business page, Spirit Fox, I noticed you have a very interesting strategy, and it's not something I've seen anyone else doing in the world that of divination, of doing readings and interpretations in that sense, and that is actually conducting demonstrations on Facebook Live.
Well, again, palmistry, to me, it's tangible. It's something that we can understand and connect with, and you yourself have a hand. So you yourself have lines, and you yourself can learn how to do it. So doing the demonstration on Facebook Live, people can see how that experience will be done, how that exchange can be made between myself and you as a client. But also I like to give that tidbit, like, hey, this is what we're looking at, and you know, this might be some insight on how you can see it. Palmistry is an age-old art. There's a lot of people who've dabbled in it over many generations. And in my opinion, it is a science that isn't understood. It's something I don't think anyone will ever give the funding to make a concrete solid science with a, you know, solid foundation. I've had conversations with people where it's like, how do you even create your I don't even remember the word.
Your thesis?
How do you even create a control group for something like that? You know, how do you create your definitions, your boundaries? How many years would you have to invest to follow it to prove or disprove certain aspects? So such a study would be very costly to prove in our current scientific world the level of what a fact would be within the palmistry. And lines are so subtle in their definitions, in their interpretations. So if a line has a slight downward arc, but there's a wave in the middle, it would be different than something with an upward arc. There'd be so many different ways you'd have to have a parameter and a definition on how to scientifically study it.
And then it's interesting, and it calls it into question, like, how we come to believe in some things. Because I feel like with readings and so much of personal work that we do, it's really a moment of experience. And then, is it true? Is it believable? Is it real? Those questions often fall away, you know, when we just have that experience, when someone tells us something that we know to be true. And then contrasting that whole dynamic with the need that we also have and the valid need we have to scientifically verify these things. So I think that's a really interesting cross-section of society where I'm sure as a reader that you find yourself serving both believers and skeptics and people who fall in between who are just not sure.
I've had, occasionally I would go to a party gathering. Someone would host at their home. I would often sit in a little room and they'd have like 10, 15 friends come over, each taking their turn. And I've had some people rope their boyfriends in or their aunt or something like that. They were skeptic, but they would go just because everyone else was going. And I've shown some of these people what I could see. They didn't know me from a hole in the wall, and yet I could tell them about a deep, dark secret or something about their personality when they would just sit there tight-lipped until the end. And I've made some believers. I've turned some people into, like, how is this possible? How is this a thing? By showing them what I could see simply by looking at their hands. It's to me, it is a science because you think about it, you do life rituals. Your hands move in specific ways and form specific lines. You know, patterns are created in your hand, and then similar patterns are created with people in similar positions or personality qualities, or, you know, like-minded people tend to come together and do like-minded hobbies and habits. And so there are ways of understanding, you know, personality traits and characteristics in your hands when you look at how a lot of these people do similar things physically with their hands. I think that explains it.
So Shannon, I know you have a really excellent summer special type deal going on right now, which we'll get to in a moment. But I'm curious, what types of things can be seen and sort of discussed? Which are the major lines that you would like to focus on in a typical 30-minute or 1-hour reading?
So in a 30-minute reading, you can get a lot of good base stuff, a good understanding of who you are, what's going on in your life, where you're going. And in a full hour, it's like a full-on, nothing gets left out in a full hour. So you get all the details, all the information, all the qualities. So when I have a 30-minute session, I'll definitely focus on the primary lines. So the lifeline, which gives you an idea of your health and quality of life. The line of head, which is how is your mental stability, how imaginative you are, how are you at making decisions. Your line of heart, which is your emotional state. Do you have a lot of emotional baggage? Are you a really nurturing, loving person? How jealous are you? Possessive? And then your line of fate, which is usually your career or how you spend the majority of your day, you know, existing in the world. So those are the primary lines I will focus on to start a session. Interpreting those, kind of getting the influence of those, will take the majority of 15 minutes. But then I will talk about relationship lines. You know, travel lines are something people really like to know about. I will talk about their loyalty, how social a person they are, you know, what their finances are going to be. There's lines that indicate those things. Sometimes we'll see their sex drive, how passionate of a person they are, or, you know, lacking that passion. Or I can see their own intuitive psychic ability. If they're someone who really listens to their gut feelings, and tapping into, you know, that awareness. And that's stuff that usually we'll touch on to some degree in a 30-minute session. Adding to that, I can go deeper into where they're standing in life, what opportunities are presenting themselves, if it's a really good time to make change or not. I could talk about the quality of their experiences. Are they someone who is very fretful or worrying, or are they someone who has an addictive persona? You know, so the longer I take with a client, the more detail I can get, the more specific, even time-based I can get, to really take the time to see and interpret the deeper, subtle parts of a line.
Because if we have a good close look, like, there's a lot of small lines on the hand. I mean, at a glance, we can see the major ones, and I've seen your demonstrations on Facebook, so I can kind of get an idea of what the main lines are. But I mean, really taking a look there, there's a lot.
Yeah. The fingerprints even sometimes are considered. So at the tips of your fingers, do you have like a little swirl, or is it a circle, or is it a straight lines? Like, even the way those are formed can be interpreted within the palm reading. So every single line on your hand has meaning, has influence on your personality, on the definitions and boundaries of your personality, as well as your opportunities. I mean, there's even lines that I look at, I'm like, you are not getting enough sleep. You need to take more self-care, or you're not creating enough boundaries. You need to be a little firmer about what you're doing for other people. You know, there's lines that tell me that stuff, and it's all there in your hand.
So what exactly is your summer special that's happening right now? And I'm guessing this is local to the Moncton region, because you have to sort of have that in-person experience to do a good palm reading, or is it possible to do it online as well?
It is possible to have an online session. I ask for specific photographs, so an overall close-ups of certain areas, and I give examples of what I'm looking for in a higher quality. So if I need to zoom in, I can. So I ask for specific photos, and then I will take the half hour or the hour with that person online, either the phone, we can do video chat, and I will interpret the image with them. So people do have the ability, if they can't be here in person, to still have a reading done. I usually add an extra 5 to 10 minutes to those sessions, simply because scrolling in on an image might take a little extra, and, you know, looking for specific things, it's a little easier for me to twist a palm and turn it over and see those definitions than when I'm looking at a photo. But in person is always preferred, because I can get that depth, I can see shadow and definition.
Pull out the magnifying glass like you were doing before we started.
Yeah, if I need to get into those nitty-gritty details, I have that ability. So usually for a half-hour session, I charge $50, but I am offering for the summer the opportunity, if people decide to come and bring a friend, it's only $30 each, which is saving themselves 40% off the whole price. And this is running until August 25th. So if people are interested, it's a really good opportunity, because it's not something I offer very often.
And that would be 2 30-minute sessions, so each friend. And what is the idea of coming with a friend? What gave you that idea, and what makes that an attractive option for this type of session?
So a lot of people like having their friends around for such things. One, because they're dabbling in something that's unknown, so they like the security of having that friend there. But also because they like someone paying attention, and making sure that the truth is being told. You did touch on it before. There's a lot of readers out there who are smoke and mirrors, who, you know, are deceiving and just looking for that quick buck. And that's, you know, was very prevalent years ago, but it's still sometimes a thing in the now. So having a friend there kind of gives you that awareness, like, okay, were they telling me the truth? Were they interpreting the right way?
Was I being manipulated in some form?
And usually your friend is nice and neutral, or sometimes they're there to take notes. I've seen that as well. But they give you that security and that comfort. And then it's fun. You know, you have two friends together and you start opening up about this person, and they can giggle or they can cry together. Not that I make people cry often, it does happen, but they can be there together to support each other, be it a pro or a con that comes forward in the poem.
And I suppose it would also work well if couples want to come in, or family members.
Yeah, I've had mothers and daughters. Usually women are the ones who are interested in this kind of thing. I have had men, you know, husband and wives do come in together. There are some men who are very adamant and they'll be dragging the other person to come with them. But having that dynamic, couples are really interesting because you get to see how they're building their relationship together, how he perceives the relationship versus she, or whatever dynamic that they have in a relationship. You know, parents are always interesting. Sometimes people will come with a friend, but the friend will sit out in the waiting room because there's certain things they don't want them to know about. And I see that more often again with, like, you know, a mother and a daughter kind of situation.
Right, of course.
You know, daughter doesn't really want mom to know about her, you know, sexual appetite or relationship qualities or things on that line. So they'll be like, sit this out if you don't mind. Or sometimes mom doesn't want her daughter to know. Such a thing will happen, so.
Or they equally don't want to know about each other.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, I mean, there are people who do come together but don't sit in on each other's sessions.
Well, Shannon, I have really enjoyed, since, full disclosure, I was a demo subject, and that's kind of how we met and came together. So I am a believer. I think this is the real deal based on the experience I've had with you. And I would encourage anyone to check out the Spirit Fox Facebook page if you want to take an over-the-shoulder peek into a live reading. They're all there. It's part of your promotion for this special. So Palm Sundays, live videos, and we have a couple more of those coming out in the coming weeks. Well, if you're curious, if you need to know or want to know about any area of your life path, really recommend getting in touch with Shannon. And what is the best way to do that? Is it the Facebook page?
The Facebook page, you can send me a message through there, or you can book yourself if you like that kind of convenience. The other option is you can send me a message on my phone, and that is 875-4672 for anyone looking to book.
Well, Shannon Edgett, palmist and owner of Spirit Fox, it's been really a pleasure to speak with you today, and thank you for sharing this art with us.
Thank you.
Again, this has been Atlantic Business Spotlight. I am your hostess, Kathleen Sutherland, and this podcast is brought to you on behalf of kcsutherland.com. If you have an interest or need for strategic marketing services, I invite you to check out my website, kcsutherland.com, or find me on Facebook. We have a private group, KC Sutherland Strategic Marketing. I'd be more than happy to have you in there, or you can send me an email at info@kcsutherland.com. Have a great day.